Our scripture is chapter 21, the first 19 verses of Jesus' appearance at the Sea of Tiberias. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." And they went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. He said to them, "Children, have you no fish?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled a net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took bread and gave it to them, and he did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." "Amen, amen, I say to you. When you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to Peter, he said to the other disciples, and he says to us, "Follow me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
There's an old preacher's story about the first sermon a new pastor preached as he comes to the church, or she comes to the church. It was a dynamite sermon. It was fantastic. And the congregation was duly impressed and inspired. The next Sunday, the new pastor preached exactly the same sermon. Well, they figured that was the best sermon that the preacher had, and a lot of people were missing from church the week before, and the preacher really wanted them to hear the message. And then the third week, he preached exactly the same sermon a third time. Well, the session wasn't real happy, and the congregation didn't know what was going on, but some brave soul finally had the nerve to go and ask, "That's a really good sermon, and we like it, but don't you have something else to preach?" And the pastor said, "Well, yeah, I do. I've got a lot of sermons, but I'm going to wait till you start doing what's in this sermon before we move on to the next sermon." Whoa. Now, I'm hoping that somewhere in the back of your mind, it's nibbling at you that you have heard this story before. Say again? Thank you, John. It was my very first sermon. These were the words out of my mouth the first time the congregation ever heard me. That was back in April of 2017. I'm actually repeating the sermon not because you haven't done it, but because in that sermon I asked you to jump out of the boat with Peter and me, and you have. And you've done it spectacularly. I began that sermon with the story, then I asked you, what's the name of this church? Covenant Presbyterian Church. I want you to remember forever who you are. You are Covenant Church. The Lord God said, I will be your God, you will be my people. That's a covenant. When I met with the executive committee of the session way back in April of 2017 to discuss the details of becoming the interim pastor, I felt called to preach them a sermon. And they asked me to preach the same sermon of the session and to preach it a third time to the congregation. And I did all that, and here we are today preaching it a fourth time, except it's almost the same sermon. There are light years of differences. In 2017, the session wanted me to call me as your interim pastor. I felt called to be the interim pastor, and overriding fear tried to stop it all from happening. The day before Kim and I had the big meeting, with the executive committee. Kim and I had a meeting with the Committee on Ministry representative to the church. And he sat us down and he went through in minute detail everything that was wrong with Covenant Presbyterian Church. Oh my gosh, you know, your hair starts to turn gray, too late. Your hair starts to stand on end. And as he's giving us all these details, boom, 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 I got more and more excited. I was excited. Every mention of something troublesome, I looked at Kim and grinned at her, and she gave me the big wink. The Holy Spirit had descended upon us. We knew we were called to this church. The Holy Spirit, which surrounds us in images today, had descended upon us. And we recognized the challenges, honestly. And as he kept talking, and he didn't stop, he kept talking, I felt that my spirituality, my skill set, my personality would fit this family of God. Echoing the book of Esther, what kept coming into my mind was, we are called to a time such as this. And then the reality started to sink in, financial realities. Tried to crowd out the Holy Spirit. First of all, could the congregation, it was the congregation's fears, the executive committee's fears, the session's fear. Can we do this? Can we keep going? Will the church be able to overcome our challenges? Maybe not. Maybe not. And then fear at our end as well. Could we make a radical change in our lives? I was happy as a It's a pig and slop in North Platte. Could we make that change? Could we financially afford the move? Chuck is still in college. Matt's Olympic dream is financing. That's like paying for college. And this fear started to blind us. That evening when we got home, the night before the meeting with the executive committee, Kim and I started picking at each other. Now, we disagree loudly, butt heads, but we never pick at each other, you know. And that night we did. And so we both went to bed mad. And I got up early the next morning and sat up in bed and started writing this sermon. An hour later, Kim woke up and said, you need to preach them a sermon. Not about money, not about challenges, but about fear and abundance. We had all started to become overwhelmed by fear. Fear can lead to terror, and then we can lose everything. The perception of the fear was absolutely wrong about this church, but the emotion that we were feeling is very real. And this fear can keep all of us from focusing on where we need to focus on Jesus Christ. We can't recognize him. We can't recognize him in each other, in the ministry that he's given us. Terror of losing everything takes us right where we don't need to be. And we easily lose sight of the one with whom we love and serve and are loved and is served and are served by. And so our Lord and Savior constantly in the New Testament, in his leadership in the New Testament, keeps telling us, fear not. At the empty tomb, the angel of the Lord tells Mary Magdalene, fear not, he is not here, he is risen. And in her grief, in her sorrow, she starts to shut down. All Mary can hear are the words, he is not here. And so she becomes desolate. After Peter's betrayal, stuck in his own shame, stuck in his own bitterness and guilt at the Sea of Tiberias, there's Jesus right in front of him, and he can't recognize him. All Peter can focus on is his failure. On the road to Emmaus, Cleopas and his companion are walking and talking with the Word of God, Jesus Christ, and he's opening up for them the Word of God. And they can't recognize him because they're stuck in their own fear, in their own sorrow, in their own disappointment. It's not anything like we thought was going to happen. And a week later, and that night, Easter night, Thomas, knowing he missed the Lord's appearance, fearing he would never see the risen Christ, maybe to cover his own feelings, he boasts, I won't believe this until I touch his wounds in real time. The few years before the summer of 2017 had been hard on Covenant Church. PCUSA decisions, Pastor Bill's illness, staffing changes, mounting money issues. Facing all this hardness could have led us to fear dominating who we are and keep us from seeing the risen Lord. Right from the start, together we changed focus. Jesus is here. Amen. Jesus is here then, now, and forever. His covenant with us, the new covenant, in his blood, in his resurrection, is life, life in abundance. We own the fact that Jesus is with us in our sorrows, our worries, our shame, at failure, our grieving as we see people leave, are dipping into financial resources. We were just like Mary and Peter and Cleopas and Thomas on that first Easter. And it took them time and Jesus' patience with themselves and Jesus' patience and seeing and hearing for Jesus for themselves to believe that fear and guilt and shame are liars. For here we stand in the glory of God Almighty. Jesus was patient with them. He appears time and time again during the Easter season with them. Wherever they are, there's Jesus. They're on the boat in the Sea of Tiberias. They go fishing. I love that. I'm going fishing. It makes sense. Peter's a fisherman. Life is hard right now. What are you going to do? Do what you do best. He goes fishing. And they're on the boat, and there's the Lord. And Peter and John cries out, it is the Lord. And Peter is so unsure. He hopes it's the Lord. So he can't see. So he jumps out of the boat and swims to Jesus. And Jesus feeds them. And he forgives Peter. It takes three times, but he forgives Peter three times. We are Peter. It takes time. Together as a church, we jumped into the water. I kept asking you, jump in the water. Jump in the water. And we did. And we've lived and we have discovered Jesus' life in abundance. Cleopas and his pal listen to the word of God all day and they still don't get it. But then Jesus sits at table, he takes bread and he breaks it, and their eyes were open in the breaking of the bread. We do it every week. One of the gifts that we give each other is we do this every week. Thomas says, I won't believe until I stick my hands in his wounds. And it took him a whole week to get over that. Jesus doesn't come back a whole week. And then there's the Lord. And once he recognizes, here's the Lord, he doesn't say, oh, wait a minute, we're going to, I got my finger ready. There's a disgusting portrait of that where Thomas really is like, oh my gosh. No, Thomas doesn't do that at all. Thomas goes, whoa, my Lord and my God. Thomas recognizes Jesus and the fear just evaporates and the cynicism just evaporates. It took time. It took time for Mary to heal. She had to go away and come back. And then Jesus says one word to her. One word. She says, Mr. Gardener, would you tell me where you have taken my Lord? And he says to her, Mary. He calls her by name and he knows her by name. And she knows him by the call of her name. What's our name? Covenant. The Lord, I will be your God. You will be my people forever and ever. In the fullness of time, we have come a long way in two plus years. Now, I'm not pretending I did anything except show up every day. All places, engaging all people, watching you all grow. I bet you asked yourself at some point, so one of you did, does he live here? It felt like it. No, it didn't. What we did, though, was we jumped into the water. We got closer to him so we could better focus on him. I begged you to do the same, and you jumped out of the water with me. Now, at the same time, jumping out of the water is brave, it's heroic, it's terrific. It's frightening. You're in the wind. You're in the waves. Sometimes your face is covered, and you can't see. Sometimes you're breathing water, and you're coughing, and you can't stop. It's a frightening place to be. But the Lord is there. Jumping to another water story where Peter's in the water. What does the Lord do? Reaches out and grabs his friend and brings him to him. That's what Jesus has done for us. Jesus has brought us here to this time and place. I thank you for jumping out of the water with me, trusting me and trusting the Lord. We have worshiped, we have ministered, we have used all our energy, intelligence, imagination, and love to live into the new reality of Jesus Christ. I am so happy for Pastor Jeff. And I am so jealous. I'm kidding, I'm not jealous. I am gladdened that for him and for this church, we will live and continue to live into our name, covenant. For the Lord God has given us life, life in abundance now. And to quote our friend Buzz Lightyear, now into infinity and beyond.